My next guest is in studio. Good news if you're a fan of a cheeky glass of vino. Wine has been getting cheaper over the last decade. That's what wine writer Michael Cooper found when researching the latest edition of his book, New Zealand Wines 2020, Michael Cooper's Buyer's Guide. It's in bookstores today. And Michael's here to give us some insight into the best plonk for your buck. Hello.
Jesse, greetings.
Nice to see you, and congratulations again on your playing such an iconic role in New Zealand's wine buying. This book is, it's a bit of a Bible for some people. They pick it up each year.
It's the 28th edition. So when you look at the first one that came out in 1992, this very narrow 800 wine guide, now, you know, for the last several years, it's about four times thicker and covers about 3,000.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday. I was lucky enough to host the New Zealand Wine Awards on Saturday night. And it was really interesting. It's 200 years since the first vine was planted in New Zealand. Really interesting to see some of the older photos, some of the old slogans. One of the early London wine shows, they had a photo there and this big banner that said New Zealand, home of cool climate wines.
Right.
You know, and when the industry was in its infancy. And it seems to have just got better and better. And even better news if things are getting cheaper. Is that really true?
Well, some wines are getting cheaper while others are going up in price, and some are actually staying quite stable. And so, given that we're all very interested in what we pay for a bottle of wine, what I did, Jesse, was go back over a decade and look at the 2010 edition of the Buyer's Guide and compare it to the 2020 edition, which is out, in fact, today. And it was quite surprising because over that decade period, overall, goods and services in New Zealand, the general rate of inflation has been about 17%. So you would sort of assume, big picture stuff, that wine might have gone
not
up.
Not per year, but over that
the total year. Over that decade, about 17%.
Yeah.
But so when I looked at some wines, the wines that don't feature widely in supermarkets, the ones that are in, say, you know, the independent wine stores and the ones that sell directly to wine lovers from winery cellar doors and so on, made by long-established, say, middle-sized, family-owned wineries like, you know, Babbage or Seyfried and so on, those wines were basically identical to the prices that they were selling at 10 years ago. So that's good news. You know, typically, you know, a decent Hawke's Bay Chardonnay or something like a Seyfried Nelson Riesling, they'll be selling at about maybe $19.
Good news for the consumer.
Exactly. And, and because effectively, during that 10-year period of 17% inflation, that means that our ability to buy those wines has improved. The big drop, though, is in the price of wines that the supposed retail price of wines that we see in supermarkets in the big stack displays. And some listeners will remember that you would go into supermarkets 10 years ago and you would see wines like, say, Stoneleigh Sauvignon Blanc. And if it wasn't on special or on promotion, as they call it sometimes, it would be sitting there at about $27.95. And no one would buy it because everybody knew that, it, you know, within a week or two, it would be on special at, say, $14.95. So what was happening was that the bigger producers were pricing up to price down so that they could then advertise discounts, or startling discounts of, say, 50%. And New Zealanders are great lovers of discounts, more so than basically any other country in the world, I'm told, when it comes to buying wine.
Yeah.
In other countries, they put more emphasis on long-term reputations, you know, built up over decades, sometimes centuries. Here, discounts are of critical importance. So if you can price it up and price it down. But what you always noticed was when you bought the so-called $28 wine and you poured it and drank it and you thought, hey, that's a bargain. But actually, it usually tasted like a $14.95 wine. But because of the wider societal issues surrounding alcohol consumption in New Zealand, and wine is part of that, although a relatively civilised part of it, the way it's consumed with food typically, the government moved about 6 years ago to effectively ban the advertising of such huge discounts. And so now, if you're a wine retailer, you can only advertise 50% discounts in store. You can't put an ad on the radio or in the paper and claim that. And so there was an immediate response to that. The moment that the retailers couldn't claim these huge discounts, people like me, instead of being told that these wines were $28, were then being told very quickly that actually their retail price is about $19. And so what has happened is that the supposed normal retail price has dropped by nearly 20% for those wines over the last 10 years.
But that possibly it's not a very good measure because not many people bought them at that higher price anyway.
About 20% apparently.
Yeah.
But so those sorts of wines, about 80% typically, was being bought on what was supposedly special, but actually would have to be the normal price because you can't keep making and selling wine, you know, and selling it at a 50% discount. You know, it wouldn't be enough scope to constantly be slashing your prices.
Yeah.
So the other aspect, though, is that some wines have actually gone up by 50% in the last decade.
Right.
And these are the so-called icon wines, where they're prestigious wines and invariably in limited supply. So if you look at the price of wines like, for example, Felton Road Block 5 Pinot Noir, a really outstanding Central Otago Pinot. Or if you look at, say, a prestigious Hawke's Bay wine like Tomata, Coleraine, Cabernet Merlot, over the last decade, wines like that have actually shot up by 50%. And that's good for the industry because it shows that where winemakers are making truly outstanding and internationally acclaimed wines, then people are prepared to pay for them and that they can still compete effectively against imported wines, even though they're, you know, they may be priced over $100 a bottle.
I heard a story on the weekend at this wine awards I was at, and would you be surprised to hear this, that one of these, one of the ones that you've mentioned in this premium list, had been suggested that they would do just as well overseas if they put their price up, doubled their price, that by keeping it at what is a reasonable sort of a bargain by international standards, they might be putting off overseas buyers who think, well, maybe it's not much good if they're only charging 150 a bottle rather than 300 a bottle.
That's definitely the case. I think a lot of consumers use price as a guide to quality. And I think that's one of the reasons why we often see wineries putting out a $75 Pinot Noir or a $50 Chardonnay, even if they don't quite have wine of the quality that would normally justify that price. They want the prestige that rubs off on them by having a so-called iconic or high-priced wine, because that can give you a benefit that flows right through the rest of your range.
We better ask you your best buys for the year.
Well, at the end of tasting about 3,000 wines, I draw up a shortlist of about 20 or 25, and that shortlist is compiled while writing the book. And then I choose a best white wine buyer of the year and a best red wine buyer of the year. And so you look at the quality of the wine, and you look at its price, and you look for the wines that really over-deliver in terms of value. And this year, one of the wines is from a huge winery and one's from a tiny winery. The best by white is Villa Maria Cellar Selection Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc 2019. It right from the time I first tasted that wine, it's got everything that I look for in a Sauvignon. And I'm not looking for very crisp, grassy styles of Sauvignon. What I like is Sauvignons that are ripely flavoured, that have got good body and weight, they're fleshy, but moderate acidity, enough acidity to keep the wine lively, but not sharp, and those riper, more tropical fruit flavours with an undercurrent of more sort of neatly grassy flavours. So it gives the wine complexity. And I thought that this Villa Maria wine really is a 4.5-star quality wine. At the sort of price, you can buy it anywhere at $18, sometimes it goes on promotion at $14.95.
Great. They were among the winners on Saturday night, actually. And I note that the Sauvignon Blanc winner, or as someone will text me to tell me, Sauvignon Blanc winner was only $18 as well. It's a great variety to be buying if you want to get a bargain in New Zealand, huh?
Yes. And the red, the top red, is from Alexander Vineyard in Martinborough. It's Alexander Dusty Road, Martinborough Pinot Noir 2018. And to me, it's got everything I look for in Pinot Noir. It's perfumed, it's savoury, it's complex, it's got a delicious sort of array of flavours. it's already drinking well. It's made specifically for early consumption, but it's also age-worthy. And for me, a 4.5 stars out of 5 wine, normally a Pinot Noir at that level of quality, you'd be paying, say, between $40 and $45. And this one is $27.
Great. People can get the book as of today, and I know you've got the website as well, which is presumably kind of where things are heading, although people like me quite like the hard copy.
It's both. The website's good for people who live overseas who don't have such ready access to the book.
Okay, michaelcooper.co.nz. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jesse.
Nice to chat to you.